Them they talk about the global village and the market forces. Others they dream of prosperity. With big fat beggars riding happy horses. Then they search for big, big drugs to take the cure diseases caused by small, small bugs. Then they study the sparrow so as to learn more lethal ways to take to design them. Arrow, arrow. Build a bridge across from me to you.
Cross Canada tour.
And we're back. Welcome and hello from Human Rights Radio to our listeners on CJTR Community Radio at 91.3 FM. And welcome to everyone tuning in over the internet on cjtr.ca. Human Rights Radio is hosted weekly by Amnesty International volunteers, who are a worldwide movement of people dedicated to the promotion of human rights and the safety of all human beings. We're building a world in which every person enjoys the rights included in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and many other human rights standards. And we'd like to thank our Canadian band, Mr. Something Something from Toronto, and the Afro poet Ikwanga for our theme song, You Are Beautiful. And this week, I am Mona Hill, and I am not joined by my co-host, Jim Hutchings, who happens to be in Toronto this week. And so I'm winging it by myself with Ron, who's helping me at the booth here. So today our guests are going to be talking about something that might be familiar to a lot of us. And I have good memories of myself, and that is summer camp. And one might wonder why talking about summer camp would be considered to be a human rights issue. It's time to start thinking about summer and summer holidays. And this week, we're talking with James McNinch, the Dean of the Faculty of Education at the University of Regina. Dudley Phillips joins us as one of last year's outstanding camp participants. And Krista Balico co-teaches a course in the education faculty entitled Schooling and Sexual Identities. She's also a member of this particular camp. We'll get around to the name. And Michael Hammond is here, and he currently works at the Mackenzie Art Gallery, and he's a presenter, a past presenter, and camp cook at Camp Firefly. And if anyone hasn't heard of Camp Firefly, it's a wonderful opportunity for a youth who are gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, intersexed, questioning, to find a place for themselves where they feel comfortable and happy in a summer camp environment. So I'm going to pass this over to the four of you and ask you, maybe give us a little bit of past background on the camp. Why was it important for it to be created? How long it's been around? All those things that you think people want to know about. Take it away.
Thanks, Mona. Where did Camp Firefly begin? It was founded in 2004 as a university community educational project by a fellow called Dr. Andre Grace and his doctoral student, Christopher Wells, and they were at the Faculty of Education at the University of Alberta. They saw and recognized a need for the camp because they had worked with young people in the Edmonton area and saw the discrimination they experienced, the pain, the hurt, and wanted to create a space where, as one person said, I'm looking forward to feeling like I'm on the inside, not the outside. So that was the start of it. This will be the third year for the camp here in Saskatchewan. 4 or 5 years ago, the camps in Alberta started to notice the high number of youth coming from Saskatchewan to the camp in Edmonton. So Andre contacted people here in this province to generate some interest in starting our own camp. So this is year three, and we're really excited about providing an opportunity for queer youth to feel like insiders.
Okay. How many participants have you generally had in the past 3 years in Saskatchewan? Any idea?
Since I was preparing the meals last year, I kind of have a better idea of how
oh,
many
yes.
people I was preparing for.
Perfect.
I think altogether, including counselors. I think there was usually around 40 people at camp, and I think the same numbers were in Saskatoon last year or the year before.
All right. How many counselors? Is it trouble finding counselors to go to the camp? Are there any issues, or are people just clamoring to get in and be a camp counselor?
Well, there's campers, there's youth, but then there are people who have been at camp before. They become youth leaders.
Okay.
And then there are adult counselors as well, and it's all volunteer. So
yes.
Not really a problem in finding people who want to participate.
Okay.
And just to pick up on something that Michael had said about the Saskatoon and Regina is that we alternate when the camp is in Saskatchewan. So the first year was in Saskatoon, mm-hmm. and then last year was in Regina, and now it's back in Saskatoon. And it was more urban in Saskatoon the first year. And last year we were out at a camp, so we were, outdoors, and that brings with it different kinds of activities and programs. So
right.
It's also really varied. It changes every year quite a bit. So.
Well, considering it's so new, I can see that being something that would be necessary is to figure out what's going to work best for the youth, what's going to work best for the counselors and the volunteers, that you would be making changes. Change can be good.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that there were some campers who had been at the year before in the urban environment and mm-hmm. found out it was going to be at a camp in cabins with, canoeing and archery and these things. And perhaps some were apprehensive because they'd never had that experience. So it was also a really great opportunity to introduce different experiences in that mm-hmm. way, too.
So, Dudley, when you were at the camp last year, was that was here in out of Regina?
Yes, it was actually my first year participating in the camp, and it was an absolute amazing experience to participate, and looking forward to do it again this year.
Okay. Tell us about some of those experiences, if you don't mind.
Well, from the time I actually first got to the camp, when I first was actually dropped off, I felt completely accepted, like I actually found a home like where I should be. I was no longer, prior to going to camp, I was still somewhat in the closet, kind of hiding who I was. It was the camp that gave me kind of a sense of community, a sense of strength that allowed me to advance myself, to grow mm-hmm. as an individual and know that there's people out there, there's community out there that is there always, and especially if I should ever have problems.
Okay, that's great. There's always support for you, right? To be able to connect with that support. I'm aware that oftentimes it's being an individual who is somehow different than the rest of the people around you can make you feel very lonely and not know where to go for help or support. So I see that as really valuable. That's great. What was the best thing about the camp being? Besides having all that support and knowing that you could go somewhere, what kind of activities did you enjoy?
Actually, some of my favorite activities were the sports kind of stuff that we did, the games that we played, the activities that we did, canoeing, archery. All those things were absolutely mm-hmm. amazing activities. The leadership qualities that were actually taught during the camp in many of the, I guess, programs, mm-hmm. would be a good term for it, were very educational. I've put a lot of what I learned at camp about being a leader and expressing myself and being who I can be into my everyday practice after I left camp. When I left camp, I took all the things I learned to be a leader and put it into my everyday life. And because of it, I've actually advanced myself a lot over the last year.
What's the length of time of the program itself? Is it a week or 2 weeks, or how long does the camp last?
It's too short. It's 3 days, very intense.
And you learned all of this in 3 days, Dudley?
Yes. It's a very intense emotional ride, and
wow.
you learn a lot about yourself, about who
wow.
you are,
wow.
and, the other people around you. And the sense of community that is actually present within the gay community, it's amazing. And this camp really symbolizes and shows and crystallizes this sense of community, this sense of belonging.
In 3 short days.
So you just said that from where you were at the beginning of camp, where you were at the end, and how much you've changed and grown since. What's it going to be like for you going into the camp this year?
I'm actually really excited. I'm not as nervous about going to it this year as I was in previous years. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually looking forward to taking what I learned last year and being a leader in the camp this year and helping anyone I possibly can like I was helped last year. That's what I'm hoping to do.
Who decides on what the curriculum is going to be? what the programming is going to be. How does that come about? Do you sit down and have a big meeting every year and decide this is what we're going to do? And
well, I was on the programming committee,
okay.
And so there was a group of volunteers, and because we weren't starting fresh, there had been camps in Alberta previous and mm-hmm. in Saskatoon, what we did was we looked at what had been done in the past. We also looked at campers' comments, because before campers leave, we have them fill out forms. In fact, after every program or workshop, campers write about what the experience was like for them, both positive, negative, and so in that way we have a lot of feedback. So as a programming committee, there was a group of us, and we went through what other programs had been, what was successful, what wasn't, and of course we wanted to include things that were specific to, you know, the prairies, and we just started to build the programming. We mm-hmm. knew things were important, like leadership skills were very important, the idea of building community, also wanting to ensure that this is a camp and that there was activities that were just for pure fun,
mm-hmm.
and so just starting to build on leadership, on youth resilience, and also, you know, on mind and body. So doing some activities, like Dudley said, playing ultimate frisbee, canoeing, and then just having downtime as well. And we actually had to build downtime in, and I think always that campers wish there could be a little more downtime, but there's just so much and so many people who want to be a part of the camp and offer workshops that at the end of the day, we almost had to say, we've got enough workshops, you know, come again next year, because people want to be a part of the camp as well. So we've had all kinds of workshops.
Camp Firefly was chosen by Chris Wells as the emblem for the camp because, as he says, a firefly generates its own light from within and becomes a symbol. And the word firefly now stands for fostering youth, resiliency, energy, fun, leadership. Yeah.
All right.
I had to get that in.
And all that in 3 days. I'm still blown away by this. So what do you need to make this into a 5-day event or a 7-day event? Is it purely a matter of money, or is it a matter of finding the right volunteers, or what? Because I'm just thinking, if you can do all that in 3 days, what you could possibly do?
What kind of mountains could you actually move?
That's a really good question, Mona. I've actually never thought of that. I've accepted the box. and maybe it needs to be longer. We've never had people. Well, actually, participants always say, "I wish it was longer.
There you go.
Part of that might be, too, it's our second year, and in the first year, last year in Regina, this will be the second year to Saskatoon. When it's new, it also takes some time to, you know, be able to develop it, and some of the planning stages for 3 days, you know, it's quite extensive. So, you know, that might be something to start talking about as we do it year after year.
Right. And do you plan on going back to an urban environment ever, or are your plans more to do it sort of out in the woods, or out communing with nature more than not? Or what are the plans? What kind of feedback, I guess, would you have gotten from the participants on either?
Well, I think in Saskatchewan, I think it was working quite well to alternate between Regina and Saskatoon, because they are two totally different environments, Saskatoon being the urban experience, and here we've been having it out at an actual camp at a
mm-hmm.
lake. So, you know, kids can choose, you know, what kind of an experience they want. If they don't care for, like, the rustic real camp experience, they could go to an urban one.
Mm-hmm.
If they can't make the one in Saskatoon, they can go to Edmonton, or there have been other places across Canada as well that have held
I'm trying to get a picture of what you would do in an urban setting for a 3-day camp. How would that be different from canoeing? Well, for me, that would be, yeah. But from canoeing and archery, you know, and being outdoors, what would you be doing in an urban setting that would be different?
Well, they had more electricity, right?
So, yeah.
I think they went to movies. Was that part
of it? An urban experience allowed them to do city things, and many of the camp participants were from smaller northern rural environments. So that was an experience for them too. And both camp, you know, the camps in both locations, and it's part of the tradition of the camp to have a talent night And so there's that sort of one of the big evening events.
So it's not the big bonfire night when you're in Saskatoon.
No, not a bonfire in Saskatoon, but certainly the camp at Lumsden Beach Camp, where it was mm-hmm. last year in Regina, was, from my perspective, really a value-added experience.
Right.
But for somebody who has never been to a big city like Saskatoon, I'm sure that that was a good experience as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, the other part of the camp is that there's an artist in residence also every year.
Oh.
So the year it was in Saskatoon, Carrie Catherine, a singer-songwriter, was the artist in residence. Last year was Adrian Stimson, who's a performance artist, an artist based out of Saskatoon. Adrian's also Two-Spirit, and so the artist in residence also brings to the camp the opportunity to be creative and to be helping the campers express themselves in different kinds of artistic ways. And the artist in residence work with the campers throughout the 3 days. It's not just a one-time experience. So part of it is also throughout the camp, the campers are working on something, some kind of a project, and that also is part of that experience. So part of it is that mm-hmm. throughout the time they have someone who they are workshopping with and working with a couple of times a day or a couple times throughout the weekend. So
okay. When you talked about having the outdoor experience, you talked about having cabins. When you're doing the urban experience, where do these young people all stay? Do you have billeting, or what do you do? And
no,
what about the cost
they're,
as well?
They're in a retreat house that has accommodation,
okay.
Separate bedrooms for
oh,
everyone.
Wonderful.
So it's an excellent facility.
Okay.
And that was a big difference, the separate
yeah.
bedrooms. And I think there was a sink and stuff off the bedrooms,
mm-hmm.
and this was...
Yeah.
With six people to a cabin, and obviously the washrooms a distance
right.
away. So, yeah, just a very different experience.
Right. And I can imagine the young people who are coming in from the rural areas, that wouldn't be anything really special for them or different, you know, than a lot of them maybe have experienced, you know, playing in the bush and as they grew up and that sort of thing. But totally different for someone who's grown up in a totally urban environment, and something to maybe get used to as well.
And I think everyone, it seemed to me that people adapted really well. Everyone just seemed so comfortable right from the start. But maybe you, Dudley, you want to speak to that. What was that like for you?
Being out in the kind of outside the city area.
And just sharing cabins and that kind of stuff.
See, that's where I think part of it for me that built that sense of community. Because you were always with people who are experiencing the same things as you, going through the same things as you, or have already went through what, you know, you're going through. And that was a real builder, especially to be together. And I found a lot of times that I wasn't hanging out with just one person. I was hanging out with everyone at the camp, and mm-hmm. everyone was bonding. There was no segregation. There was no separation. There was just a single unity of the whole camp for everyone. And that was an amazing experience, especially how the camp was designed, like physically designed. We had our center green where everyone kind of communed and passed by and talked. And it just added that whole allure of, or I guess, as I've been saying, community.
Mm-hmm.
So,
wow, that sounds wonderful. It sounds like at times it could have been very emotional for a lot of the people that were there.
Very.
Yeah, do you want to talk about that a bit? How was it for all of you, you know, in terms of the emotional well-being and, I mean, coming together and sharing those common experiences that maybe you haven't had an opportunity to share before?
I know for me, after about the first day and when I started talking to more people about the experiences that I had, and they were telling me about the experiences that they had, like coming out and stories like that, I realized that a lot of what I was going through was the same thing that everyone else kind of went through. The afraid, you know, to come out, to tell your parents, to tell your friends. And just knowing that it's kind of the one idea that we all kind of shared.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, by the second day, I was so comfortable with everyone around me that I guess I didn't want to leave at the end of it. And it was that comfort factor, that security that I felt with everyone there.
Yeah, I actually can relate to that. When I was a little girl, I went to a summer camp for children with disabilities. And I, in turn, as well, felt like maybe this is somewhere I belong, because quite a bit when I was young, there were times when I felt like I didn't belong with my other friends in my neighborhood and that sort of thing. So I can totally relate to that, and at times feeling, I went a couple of times to this summer camp. It was the Kinsmen that ran it, and it was a wonderful place to be, and there were times I felt like I didn't want to go home either. It was wonderful, and I liked the archery too. That was great.
Well, I think of Michael's own story that he's actually sung about and written about, but many adults involved in the camp wish that there had been a camp experience like that for them when they were that age, so that the whole business of expressing their identity would not be so difficult or closeted or shamed.
Yeah. Do you care to tell us a little bit about that, Michael?
It was a performance piece I wrote several years ago for the Canadian National Conference of Lutheran Ministers, and I was asked to write about my experiences of growing up gay in the Lutheran Church. So I wrote a piece called This Little Light of Mine, Growing Up Gay in the Lutheran Church, and so I sing through it old Sunday school songs and things, but tell the story of, you know, growing up in the 60s and the 70s and not having that community which Dudley talks about, and feeling totally alone, like there's nobody else like me out there.
Right.
You know? And so I think for a lot of the adult presenters and people who are, you know, really supporting this camp, all have the same wish that we had had that as kids growing up, you know? I think we would be a lot stronger people, believing in ourselves more. You know, a lot of people deal with issues of, like, mental health issues, depression, alcohol, drug abuse, and because you had nothing else in your life, you know?
Yeah.
And so to escape that, you know, you turn to things that are not good for you. So to be able to offer Camp Firefly to youth today is just such an amazing opportunity that, you know, and that's why I myself have gotten involved in it, because going to Bible camp when I was a kid, I mean, I loved it, and at the end of it, I mean, everybody's crying and upset, not wanting to go.
I remember that, too.
You know, and it's just, even though it's 3 short days, it's amazing how, what tightly bonded relationships everybody involved in the camp has and goes away with, and you have lasting friendships from that camp, you know, and you look forward to next week because you know those people are going to be back again, and
right.
You know, so that's why I support Camp Firefly, because I think it is such an important thing for youth today.
One of the things that we have the campers do is to write a little note to themselves, and I had the pleasure of holding these letters and mailing them back to the campers just after Christmas, I think. I mailed them in January, sort of 6 months after the camp.
Right.
So I want to ask Dudley, but when you opened that envelope, what had you written to yourself?
Well, I actually wrote to myself, remember what you learned and remain strong. They're always with you. And when I actually received that letter, it actually brought tears to my eyes, because it's like, I just remembered all the great memories that I had, the great people that I met, and just the feeling of that letter after I received it was one of the best feelings that I had since the camp actually left. It was a great thing when I received it. It was like, wow, I actually almost forgot about this letter when I opened it up. And it was like almost like a moment. Like I said, I've been advancing myself since I left. When I received that letter, it was another kick to keep moving forwards. And it's like, you know, you're halfway through another year. And I got this letter, and it's like, okay, now it's only downhill till next year.
I think listening to Dudley's story, it's emotional to even hear how much it meant to you, and you asked us about our experiences.
Yeah.
It was like that times 40 campers, you know, every day,
right.
Going through ups and downs. So going through ups and downs, and so it was just emotional for us, highs and lows, because you have kids, some campers who aren't out at home, and you know who are having such a good time and so free, yeah. Who may have to go back in the closet for their own safety when they go home.
Right.
But you also have campers who realize, you know, I can be out, I have support, I have community. So the emotion behind every day, it was changing also moment to moment. I would say you would go through 50 different emotions in a day, depending on what was happening. And you know, you have campers taking you aside to share something with you as an adult, and having to respond and help. The next moment, something else arises. So it was an emotional roller coaster, and it was an amazing experience. And just listening to Dudley, I think you get a sense of what it's like.
Right.
But more.
Right. And perhaps more so even in some ways for the mentors, the volunteers that are there, bringing back your own stuff, as you were talking about, and also taking on all the young people's stuff. Sort of, you know, it reminds me of the work that I do as a social worker. Is you need to be on and you need to be there because they're depending on you, they're relying on you, and then what do you do at the end of the day when you've got all this stuff, right? So I totally get that. I think we might have, what, about a minute left, Ron? Okay, so in that minute left, I guess I could wrap this half up about what I'm hearing here from everyone is this is a place to go for mentorship. Number one, mentorship is so big. It's and having maybe substitute parents, because you can't talk to your parents, substitute family, you can't talk to your family, so that you can be the person that you're meant to be, the person you're comfortable being with, the person that you feel finally maybe comfortable to identify yourself as. What a golden, wonderful thing. I'm just so impressed with this. Is there anything you want to say last minute, a couple 30 seconds before we go to the commercials?
Well, maybe after the break we could talk a little bit about one of the new initiatives we instituted last year, which was a workshop for parents.
Excellent. We'll do that. Okay. We'll come back after the break, and we're going to hear a song, and we're going to do some announcements, and come on back to Human Rights Radio.
Black spruce, heart of the northern river. Through the glass I ripple, clouds and trees all know. Black spruce, onward ever deeper. Calm the restless heart, soothe the restless soul. I am no raven, high o'er the river. I am no black wings, carry me. The night sky deeper and deeper. So many stars, always alone. Black spruce, heart of the northern river. Through the glass I ripple, clouds and trees all know. Black spruce, onward ever deeper. Calm the restless heart. To the rest of soul. I am a wind sigh night to the jackpine. I am the flurry of birds on the wing. I am the silence, answer the call. I'm but a heartbeat pounding. Black spruce, heart of the northern river. Through the glass I ripple, clouds and trees all know. Black spruce, onward ever deeper. Calm the restless heart, soothe the restless soul. I am the storm cloud building and building. I am the fury, the thunder, the light. I am raindrops, bird songs sing the morning. I am white water, heard in the night.
And welcome back to Human Rights Radio on CJTR Community Radio, 91.3 FM, and over the internet at cjtr.ca. And I'm Mona Hill, and I'm back today with members of and volunteers of and participants of Camp Firefly, when we're talking about the importance of the camp for GVLT people, particularly young people and the people that go there to volunteer. We're having some incredible conversation about this camp. I think it's wonderful. And let's continue on with it. Where are we going to go with this, the next one?
Well, I'm going to talk about the workshop that we had for parents.
Right.
Again, it was voluntary, and not every parent could or wanted to come. But for those who were picking up their son or their daughter, some did spend a couple of hours, not at the camp itself, but at another location down the road. Because the truth is that when anyone self-identifies as queer, it kind of queers the whole family. And the whole family has to come to terms with what it means to have a gay son or a lesbian daughter or whatever.
Right.
And many of them have want to be very supportive but don't know how to. Also have never talked to other parents who have sexual minority or gender variant kids themselves. So that proved to be quite powerful for the parents who did attend. And some of the kids that are attending the camp are, as Michael referred to earlier, troubled youth, in the sense that they've got social issues, they or experience bullying in the school, or become bullies themselves, aggressive behavior, some kids on medication, all sorts of issues that are not just about being gay,
right,
but about being a part of a sometimes visible and sometimes invisible minority that is often excluded and picked on.
Mm-hmm.
So that was very helpful for the parents. And I just last night was at a UR Pride meeting for youth from across the city who come for just conversation and at the university. And a kid in grade 7 in an elementary school who has come out to his mother and is afraid that his father is going to find out and beat him up. So
yeah.
That's one of there's those kind of reasons behind the original creation of the camp. So I'll also get my plug in for donations. We accept donations because it's a completely voluntary run organization, and you can go to our website. And if you just Google Camp Firefly, you'll be able to see all the information you need about making donations, volunteering for the camp, applying to be at camp or becoming a camp leader. And that's at a website that is easily Google-able. Just Google Camp Firefly and you'll find it. That sounds funny.
That's Firefly with a Y.
I was going to say that.
Oh,
yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I guess the other thing that I should say is that the camp we say it takes about $300 to send a kid to camp, but we don't expect the kids themselves to pay that. If parents wish, they can certainly pay that amount, but we don't impose a fee except for a $25 registration fee. So we depend on donations from individual citizens as well as companies and corporations, and we're expanding that to include major companies in Saskatchewan.
So you have a fundraiser specialty person or
and a committee.
A committee, I guess.
The committee in Saskatoon had a major fundraiser in March, at the end of March, and raised $18,000.
Do you issue tax receipts?
And we issue tax receipts for any donation over $20. Mm-hmm. Through the University of Regina, which is one of the official sponsors, we're able to have charitable donation status.
Oh, wonderful.
One point I just want to talk about, talking about parents again, is after campers leave the camp, a lot of them feel differently than when they went in, as Dudley attested to, feeling more empowered and feeling more in charge of who they are in their lives. And one of the other reasons that there was the parent workshop was to help parents come to terms with the fact that their child may be a little different, a little more out, a little more open. And that was another reason that we had the parent workshop, to prepare parents for the type of activities their child had been involved in, which was meant to empower, workshops about healthy living, healthy relationships, rights and laws, that it's their right to be out and not discriminated against. And that also empowers the youth. And so parents, to prepare parents for that as well. 3 days, one may not think, dropping your child off and 3 days later coming back and having a child who's got a little more oomph, a little more, power behind who they are, but that happens. And so that was another reason that we had the parent program.
I could see that totally. I know someone whose son came out to her, and he had someone he was interested in, who was interested in him, and he was very upset because she was constantly cautioning him and didn't want him to have a relationship with this person. And you know, I was a little bit concerned about that, about her response. And she said to me, "No, no, it's not that. I'm fine with him being gay. It's okay. But I just think this guy is really bad for him. And so I'm really concerned about that." So we were trying to sort of differentiate whether it was the having a son being gay issue, and that she didn't want him dating men, or the fact that the guy just wasn't healthy for him. And that's a normal response, and it should be a normal response.
And that is one of the things that the workshops also talk about for both the parents and the campers, which is about healthy relationships and also giving parents information about laws and rights as well. Right, James, you were at that. So
yeah, for sure.
The focuses.
One of my things that get me angry is that we live in a sexually soaked society. In terms of the media, and yet we don't in our schools know how to frankly talk about really important sexual issues, intimacy issues. And
true.
So the camp is a place to do that.
Right.
And the campers really appreciate that. Daddy, can you talk about a little bit about what Krista was saying about, like, did you have any problems with your parents when they were going, "Who are you?" What's happened?
With my parents, they were a little, you could say, cool to start with the whole situation. It was actually a couple of years after I originally told them that I think they actually became more acceptant of it. And it was more actually after camp of last year when I was more out and I actually found myself a partner, which we've been together for the last year and a half. But they've been very accepting, very supportive of my partner. They've very enjoyed having him around. And they've supported me as well, a lot more than what they originally did. And that was actually a great thing, especially when they were saying, you know, in the 3 days when you start camp to when you end camp, I came back a different person. I came back more open about who I was. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't so hidden about everything. And prior to that, I still acted like that with my parents. I was still hiding, kind of not telling them about my relationships, not telling them about the activities I was doing. And then it was after learning about other people's parents and seeing that there was parents that would come to the camp and be so supportive of their children, that I took that forwards with me as well. And I will be honest, I was actually completely confused about how I thought my parents would react. And I think that was part of it. It was camp also helped me realize that some things I had believed about myself or about how people would react were lies. And it made me realize that I'm not so different than a straight person. I'm not so different than anyone else. I'm the exact same as them. There's that equality now that I walked away with. And Camp Firefly helped actually build that equality. Like with the bathrooms, they're all gender neutral. And that idea, it didn't matter if you were female, male, gay, straight, or bi. It was just a single place. There was no separation. It was just equality. And I guess with all of that, like I said, when I took it home and, you know, talked to my parents about stuff and everything like that, a lot of my fears just kind of vanished. And it was a lot simpler after I had that realization than when it was before.
I think what you're talking about is common to all young people. We don't ever think when we're young that our parents are going to understand us. And so often we are wrong. And then on the other hand, I'm thinking about young people whose parents didn't go to camp, or young people who would like to come out and would like to be able to talk to their parents who haven't made it to camp. And the parents are, you know, like outside of camp, how many people went home to parents that couldn't, you know, the parents weren't there and didn't get an opportunity to be able to relate once they got back in the same way. So that's, you know, I guess encouraging the parents to be there is really important.
Well, among other things, it's very common for queer kids to leave their home community as soon as they can, so
yeah,
that they can be who they are,
right,
because of the social trauma of coming out in small towns or in religious families.
Right. And speaking of religion, I'm glad you touched on that. Michael talked earlier before the break, for those of you who may not have been listening, about his experiences as a young person in a religious organization. And One of the things I think is important to note is that there are two members on the board of Camp Firefly from two different religious organizations. One's a United Church and one's a Lutheran Church. So there is definitely support there for the camp.
And they remain, they both remain active, not just with the 3 days of the camp, but run support groups, do public speaking, and have taken this up as part of their work as ministers of the United Church and the Lutheran Church.
And that was part of the camp programming, too, that was really important to be included for campers who felt that as sexual minorities or as gay, lesbian, trans individuals, that religion was not an option for them. We also had workshops to Carla Blakely did, which was God Does Love GLBTQI Folks. And it's a very powerful workshop, and I think campers find it a very powerful workshop. Dudley, was that one of the ones that you attended?
No.
So that was also included in the workshops, and they were also there to be talking to campers, and I think that was an important part of it.
Absolutely, yeah. You mentioned gender in the past, so let's get a little bit into what's the gender ratio, and let's talk about gender. Dudley, you talked about there being gender neutral bathrooms, for instance. How about the pre-planning for the programming and for the camp? How is that taken into account?
Well, because we have people coming from all over who identify in a myriad of ways, it's very open. And no one is being shoved into a box. One can identify how one wants, and so it was very important to have gender-neutral washrooms, which weren't placing these campers into boxes and forcing them to make choices that they may not want to make, or being uncomfortable, when the whole point of the camp is to have comfort and a place where these binaries don't exist. And the planning for it took some time out at the camp where we were, because of the way camp is set up. So we had taken off any kind of gendering, pronouns on the door. So everything was gender neutral. And we had we allowed campers to, some of it was also having different shower times, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we rigged up curtains so that people would have privacy that they needed. Because at camp, it was just open.
Because normally you would have all the boys in these cabins and all the girls in this cabin, and all the showers would be
so
there.
So breaking down that right. kind of segregation was
right.
important. But there was also another kind of concern, again, that is brought with camp, is that there are youth under the age of 18 here, and then there's adults. So there was some concern that it's inappropriate for children and adults to be showering together, for example, in the same facility. So we just separated times for that. So.
Okay. And what about sleeping quarters? The cabins, as you said, they have a number of beds in them. And how did you deal with that issue? Or was it just a non-issue?
I wasn't in a cabin. Dudley, you got to talk to me.
I was actually in the love shack.
Okay.
Well, and there was no...
all of the shacks that we had all specific names.
Because it was universal love, right?
Yeah. It was a great experience. For the most part, the people that were in the cabins with me were great people. The leaders that we had in the cabins were great. Derek, was an amazing guy to work with, and he was actually my camp leader, or for the group that I was part of.
But it was just mixed. There were people who, it wasn't just boys in one cabin. It was mixed.
We were all mixed together, because, like I said, I keep touching on this idea of community, but we were one community. There wasn't a separation between a certain individual based on what they were or how they identified. It was just the equality, like I said, the experience, and just the idea of spending the time with everyone was an amazing feeling. It was a real character builder, you could say, especially when coming from a society that's so, or places so much separation on people, on sexes, on everything, that removing that actually just for 3 days was an amazing feeling, and it was actually helped strengthen like who I was as a character, because now I no longer was feeling like I was separate from everyone else because of who I was or how I identified.
I wish I was young and to go to your camp.
It
sounds
camp.
Wonderful. Yeah. And it sounds like a very healthy place to be, actually.
Well, you know, the organization, the idea that we have two committees, like we have a provincial advisory board and then two working committees, one in Regina, one in Saskatoon, to share the workload. But, and so I've said, oh, I'm not going to get involved with the camp in Saskatoon this year because I know it'll come again, all the work for next year. But I'm already excited about and sort of thinking, well, maybe I will, you know, spend a day at the camp.
Yeah. And going on.
Because it is, because it is not just important and but it is actually emotionally really affirming.
I can get that. I see it in you. I can feel the vibes in this room. Yeah, Krista, you were going to say something.
Oh, you were just talking about it being healthy, and I wanted to also add, it was such a big deal. Also, the food and love and care of the food preparation. I was in the elevator on my way up here, and one of the other announcers for CJTR was talking about his daughter's experiences at camp and that he would come and pick her up and the campers would look gaunt. They hadn't been fed. There was no milk. And I said, well, the food at the camp was the best food you can get. And the love that Michael put into the food was so important because at the end and beginning of these emotional days, having that kind of nourishment was important. And also, Michael took great care to ensure that everyone's dietary requirements were met. And out of that, you just know that there's so much respect. It's not just saying, here's the bowl of Cheerios, here are the hot dogs. It was really care and respect for everyone, and that was really important in terms of the nourishing of our bodies. And that meant a lot. Mm-hmm. That meant a lot to people.
So you're on the hook now, Michael. You understand. That's it. You can never leave. Forever the camp cook. Could somebody, because Jim isn't here today, somebody let me know when we have 5 minutes left, because I've got a few announcements. Okay, great. We're kind of winging it here today for those of you who weren't here in the first half, and we're having fun. Let's talk about volunteers. Let's talk about the fact that if I, being a straight woman, wanted to come and volunteer at your camp, would I be welcomed?
Yes.
Wonderful.
The camp is for also allies. Mm-hmm. So we had some straight identified campers who were allies, mm-hmm. and also some volunteers. As long as people are accepting and respectful and an ally, then the mm-hmm. camp is a place for anybody.
And how much time in advance would you need if I decided I wanted to volunteer?
Well, you know, you have to get a police
record check.
Record
that's
check.
Important.
So there's an application form, and we want you to express the reasons why you'd like to be involved. And mm-hmm. there's again a volunteer committee that. Welcomes people.
And besides the CPIC, would you be wanting, say, a reference or anything like that?
And we ask for references too.
Okay, that's very important.
And that's the same as the workshop leaders. Also, we had straight identified workshop leaders who came to give workshops, but also they needed to provide references so that we could check and see.
Great.
I just thought about the drumming workshop.
Yeah.
That was a really powerful, you know, you may have been involved, Mona, in communal drumming. I wasn't.
Oh, yeah,
part
I haven't.
Of it,
not
I was
in this
just
case, but yes.
Hearing it was amazing.
Yeah.
Part of that is the communal drumming, as well as the improv. Just these different parts of the workshops, not about anything other than what they were about, but what people took away from them was really powerful.
Yeah. Right. Right. So. Wow, that's incredible. Where are we going from here? Who else wants to add something to it? We have a few minutes left. I'm going to take a few minutes just before we end, and I've got some announcements. So if you want to wrap up.
Well, I want to thank you, Mona, for having us on the show and being able to speak and about our own pride in Camp Firefly. I want to encourage anyone who knows anyone who could benefit from the camp to please get in contact with us through our website. That's Camp Firefly with a Y, FYREFLY. And I would... If you're just listening to this, you can always contact me at the University of Regina and the Faculty of Education. So we want to make sure that there isn't a kid in this province who doesn't have the opportunity to self-identify as queer and come to our camp.
Wonderful.
And a lot of kids growing up in the larger centers like Regina or Saskatoon do have more of an opportunity of connecting with other gay, lesbian, transgendered youth, specifically through gay straight alliances in schools and stuff. But it's in the rural areas, in the small towns, where a lot of these kids don't have anybody. And they're the ones who are really closeted and feel that they don't have any sense of community, any sense of themselves. And those are the kids that we'd really like to get to camp so that they can see that they're not alone out there.
How do you advertise the program?
We send out through the schools and to the guidance counselors contact information, brochures, postcards, and the camp itself sustains itself through people like Dudley, who once they've been, know about it and start spreading the word amongst their friends, and there's a social network
right.
that is maintained.
Right. And if there's a young person who may be living on assistance, do you have any experience with that in the past? Would social assistance help pay for this?
So we've had a number of campers that have been in foster homes,
right.
and social assistance has paid for their participation.
So you are in connection with social services
yes,
as well?
Yes, and particularly through our United Church Minister Russell Mitchell Walker has a direct link with social services.
That's great. Krista.
I just want to thank you for having us on, and I'm now once again very excited to pop out to camp.
Oh, when is this year's camp? We haven't even talked about that before we
It's August
17th,
18th to the 21st in Saskatoon.
It's being held in Saskatoon, and this year is going to be, is it an urban camp this year?
Urban
as well?
Camp, and Dudley's going to be a leader.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciated this opportunity. As you know, I've been trying to get you here for a long time,
That's
and
right.
it's just great. So we'll say goodbye to Camp Firefly alumni, I guess, and Dudley Phillips, Krista Balico, Michael, is it Hammond or Heyman?
Hammond.
Okay, three of them. And James McNinch. If you're interested in Camp Firefly, we've just given you all the contact information. Go for it. Let people know you want to either join up and you want to be a camper, or you'd like to help out as a volunteer, maybe help Michael in the kitchen.
I need lots of dishwashers.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Human Rights Radio on CJTR Community Radio is hosted by volunteers with Amnesty International, and our goal is to increase the awareness of and contribute to a discussion of human rights issues at home and around the world. We hope you've enjoyed listening to and have learned something new about human rights for all people. To discover how you can contribute to the abolition of human rights violations, visit our website at amnestysaskatchewan.ca or check out our Facebook group at Amnesty International Saskatchewan and follow the links. Peter Benenson, the founder of Amnesty International, often said, "It is better to light a candle of hope than to curse the darkness."